Grace, mercy, and Easter peace be with you. From God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Amen. This morning we return to those two disciples on their way to Emmaus and their as yet unknown companion. We read in Matthew 24, beginning with verse 28. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Then they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened Scripture to us?" So far, the Holy Word. In the name of our risen Lord Jesus, who said, "You shall see me again, and your heart shall rejoice." Dear friends in Christ, last week we saw how Jesus turned ignorance into understanding for those two Emmaus disciples by opening Scripture to them. And there's another really good reason why the risen Christ is the perfect partner for your path ahead. And that is because he turns broken hearts into burning hearts. The two disciples, as they walked, were sullen and depressed. Their hearts were broken by disappointment. They had loved their master so much, and they had expected such great things from him. They told their new companion, "Jesus of Nazareth was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. But the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel." I wonder if you've ever noticed how many of the saddest words in the English language begin with the letter D. Disappointment, doubt, disillusionment, even despair and death. And you can hear those qualities in the voices of these two travelers. Their hearts had been broken, but they had the perfect companion to help them with that problem, and so do we. Because we too face disappointments in life, disappointments that to us are very real and very personal and very immediate. When relationships that we thought were so solid all of a sudden fall apart. When our own mistakes and bad choices result in unknown and unintended consequences that we have to live with. When we stand at the graveside of a loved one who has passed away, and especially when our own sins rise up to torment us, and we wonder sometimes whether we're even saved Christians or not. At times like that, we turn to see that we have a companion for our path. The risen Christ is with us every step of the way, bearing our burden of sorrow for us, hearing our confession of sin, and granting his pardon, and yes, healing broken hearts. Jesus' two disciples extended him an invitation, as we'll sing in the familiar hymn in a few moments, "Abide with us, the day is waning." And Jesus accepted their invitation and sat down to a meal with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the Scriptures to us?" Back in the days of the first Gulf War, a woman named Ruth Zillow of Chanute, Kansas, had a rather shattering experience. The War Department notified her that her son, PFC Clayton Carpenter, had stepped on a landmine and been killed. Anyone who's a parent can imagine her misery. Then, 3 days later, she received a phone call. "Mom, it's me. It's Clayton. I'm alive." Turns out the notification had been a mistake. It was somebody else. The news was so wonderful that the woman could hardly take it in at first. In fact, she asked her son several very personal questions in an effort just to make sure it really was him and that he really was alive. Then she said, "I laughed, I cried. I felt like turning cartwheels because my son, who I thought was dead, was actually alive. Her broken heart had been turned into a heart that was brimming with joy and relief and love. That's what the Lord did for those two Emmaus disciples. And that's what he does for you with the glorious Easter gospel. He turns our broken hearts into hearts brimming with relief and love and joy. On Good Friday came that heart-rending report, Jesus is dead, and it's our sins that killed him. But on Easter Sunday comes that joyous, that astounding good news. Jesus is alive and lives forevermore. Paul says, Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. The resurrection is proof positive that Jesus is who he said he is. And that is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. It's proof positive that God the Heavenly Father has accepted his atonement on your behalf and that you now stand perfectly justified in God's sight. Finally, it's proof positive that if Jesus has risen from the dead, you too will one day rise to everlasting glory, just as your Lord did. Paul goes on, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Your Lord's resurrection also frees you. It frees you from a life of just serving yourself to a life of serving God. You can now do just what those Emmaus disciples did. They couldn't keep the good news to themselves. Their hearts were burning with the wonderful Easter gospel, and they had to tell somebody. By this time, it was already late in the day, but that didn't stop those two. They immediately left to go back to Jerusalem. They rose up that very hour and returned, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. What joy was theirs? What joy is yours? I read a haiku poem not long ago that was written by a pastor, and it described the scene there in that supper room in Emmaus as Jesus blessed and broke the bread. At first I thought it was kind of dumb, but the more I thought about it, the more it grew on me. It goes like this. Bread broken slowly. What is shattered knits wholeness. Recognize him now. What about you? Do you recognize your risen Lord Jesus now? Do you see in him the solution for every problem or every challenge that could ever confront you in life? Most of all, do you recognize in the risen Christ the one who has answered the deepest need of your soul? The need for forgiveness and everlasting life. I pray that you do. And if you do, you will not find your confidence misplaced. For the risen Christ is the perfect partner for your path ahead. He turns ignorance into understanding, and he turns broken hearts into burning hearts. But most of all, he turns lost enemies of God into redeemed children of God. Eternal praise be to his glorious name. Amen. We'll join this morning in singing stanzas 1, 3, and 5, the odd-numbered stanzas of hymn 194.
Thank you. me